Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I have the privilege every Thursday to visit a former parishioner here, Bob Newsom, who's in a care facility at San Marcan. And he's in the memory care unit, so he's kind of lost some of his abilities to remember things. But one thing he hasn't lost at all is his spirit. He is a preacher. When I go there, I offer him some thought. Like, we just celebrated Theophany, and he'll go for like 15 minutes with a homily. I just sit back and enjoy it. This last time, he was contemplating how powerful it was when God came into the world. What power that was. What an incredible event. He came in quietly, birthed in Bethlehem, and changed everything. It changed everything. It was like Bob to you. He changed everything, Father Nicholas. It changed everything. So then we had Theophany and the baptism of Christ, and we see the Holy Spirit descend upon him as a dove, and the voice of the Father proclaiming his sonship. It changed everything, Father. It changed everything. And then we celebrate his resurrection. He says that it gave us this gift of immortality. He changed everything, Father. It changed everything. And I just walk into church and take it for granted that, you know, no, God changed everything. God changed me. God changed you. God changed our potential. So, is that an introduction? The title of the homily, I want to share that with you. Bob is just an incredible man. He was a former pastor here that converted into Orthodoxy. And he would come every morning to do matins in church when we were in Isla Vista. And he and his wife would sit together, and he'd just pray matins. Really powerful. All that stuck in him. That's really a good example for all of us, to really pay attention to your spiritual life. Because when you get older and things start to deteriorate, the one thing you don't want to lose is your spirit. So keep that intact. So the title of the homily is "The Grace of God Has Been Given to Us for Our Salvation and the Benefit of Others." So first point, the grace of God was given in the waters of the Jordan. It says he fills all things with himself when he enters the waters of the Jordan. The waters were turned back. The sea trembled. The mountains quaked. The Son of God, the creator of everything, entered creation. Entered creation to sanctify it, to make it holy. And we participate in that in our baptism. You know, it's always good to be reminded of what happens to you in baptism. You know, when Christ died and rose again from the dead, his humanity was glorified. It was infused with his divine energies, which was because he was connected. He was with his divine energy, his divine nature, and his human nature together. His human nature was filled with divine energy. And when we are baptized into Christ, we connect with his humanity, which is filled with divine energy. So everything that God is by nature, you become by grace. Everything. All the virtues. You get them. All the virtues. We should be reminded of that. What grace that is for us. What powerful grace God has given to us. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. We see this incredible event unfolding around the life of St. John the Baptist. He is a powerful witness of the power of God in this part of the story of Christ. It's interesting to me that, you know, he was born miraculously, and everybody knew that. And then he was taken into the desert because of the attack on the children by Herod, and raised by his mother, and then by angels in the desert. Everybody thought he was dead. Nobody thought he was alive. And then he shows up at the River Jordan and starts preaching the gospel of repentance. And it says all the people in the regions came to him. How many people?
All the people.
All of them, asking for advice. What should I do? What should I do? He says, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he opens this door for the Lord to enter into it. Then we come to the waters of the Jordan, and we hear the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we see the Holy Spirit descend upon in the form of a dove. And that Holy Trinity, beloved, through your baptism, is united to you. I think about this many, many times. Saint Nikolai says, your heart. He says, guard your heart. Why guard your heart? Because the heart is the home of the Father, the altar of the Son, and the workshop of the Holy Spirit. What? The creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, lives in your heart. It's his home. It's his altar. It's his workshop. I could stop there, but I'm not going to. The grace is given for our conversion, to flee the old self, embrace the new, to renounce our sins and cling to the virtues that are given to us in baptism. We need to reestablish one of the tenets in the spiritual life is when you confess your sin, you reestablish the virtue that's being inhibited. This is so important about the healing and overcoming your sins. When you confess pride, you need to begin to practice humility. Bow yourself. Bow yourself. When you forget, when you ask forgiveness for anger, you need to practice kindness. Because what happened is you have kindness in you. You have humility in you. It was given to you at baptism. And the trouble is you cover it up with the sin. The sin covers it up. Your pride masks your humility. Your anger masks your kindness. So it's like as soon as you confess, you need to identify the virtue that's being inhibited and begin to practice it. Envy. I'm envious. Well, you need to begin to get thankful for what you have. Don't envy others. Be thankful for what you have. You begin to fall to lust. Begin to understand and practice purity, chastity. I'll give you an example. This has helped me immensely. Get to know the Mother of God. Her purity will overcome lust. Her purity will overcome lust. You have to fight to get to know her, but her purity will overcome lust. You need to go after that. That's that practice of a virtue that's being inhibited. There's an antidote for everything. Sin you have, there's a virtue that corresponds to it. You can be to practice and get rid of that thing. Okay? You're judgmental all the time, judging, judging, judging. Well, practice compassion, practice prayer for people. This is a powerful way to begin to enter life. This grace is given to us to convert us, that we flee the virtues and flee the vices and practice the virtues. To repent means to change your mind, to do an about face, to turn around, to turn back to Christ. Sins, beloved, are symptoms because you've turned away. So I'll give you an example. When I'm facing Christ, I do fairly well. I don't have a lot of trouble resisting temptations. But when I turn away from Him and I begin to look at the world and all that temptation, I fall. Repentance is what? Turn back to God. Resist repentances and turn back. Reestablish the relationship that you have with Him. That's what keeps us from falling to temptations. It's a relationship with Christ. He's there. He came into our being to be with us that we would have victory over the enemy. When we lose sight of Him, we are subject to falling to temptations. Keep your eyes on Christ, your mind on Christ, your thoughts on Christ. Powerful. The sacrament of confession liberates us from that, from sins that anchor us to the ground, to inhibit our spiritual growth. You know, it's such a powerful sacrament to encourage you to get into a practice where you're confessing on a good basis, depending on your situation, whatever that is, but some regiment of confession for you, important, to hear these words. Whatever you've said to me, whatever you've not succeeded in saying, through ignorance or forgetfulness, God forgives. God forgives. You want to hear those words? God forgives. And then when you leave, he says, having no further care for the sin which you've confessed, depart in peace. It means all that stuff you've said is now behind you. It's no longer in you. It's no longer in front of you. It's behind you. Depart in peace, your eyes on Christ. My encouragement, it's been such a blessed sacrament for me. I encourage you to practice it as best you can, but it's a glorious sacrament for us. So we see that Christ descended into the human condition to fill all things with himself, to change our human potential, that we might excel in good deeds through gifts given to each of us. So I want to look through each of those gifts, that each aspects of the gifts given to us that St. Paul listed in the epistle. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry. He gave grace to us that we might work together to build up the kingdom of God. Not for the honor of one above another, but for the work of the church, the work of ministry, the work of harmonizing and living together. And this is really important. Everybody in this work is needed. You're a brick in the wall, and we depend on you, everyone. I depend on you, you depend on me. We depend on each other. It's important that we're here. It's important that we can stay connected in our lives together because we're building up the church. Your prayer is important for me. Your work in your spiritual life is important for me. My work in my spiritual life is important for you. We are that. The spiritual world is connected in an incredible way. We're connected with each other. We're connected with other Christians. We're connected with Christians that have gone before us. And all of it works together. But we have to understand that I am a piece in that puzzle. And I need to do my work, hold up my end of the bargain. I want to see Father Nicholas do well, so I'm going to pray. I want to see you do well, so I pray. Maybe not even specifically for you, but as I grow spiritually, it helps you. As you grow spiritually, it helps me. That's the connection we have, the equipping of the saints for the ministry. That's what St. Paul is trying to get to us. So your spiritual gift, use it. Stay connected. Grow spiritually so we can all grow spiritually together. For the edifying of the body, St. Paul says, to labor in love together. You know, I was thinking about this. I've been in this community for 50 years. Came back, we started in this community in the early 70s. And we've gone through a lot of stuff. A lot of good stuff, a lot of difficult stuff. But the beauty of that is kind of holding on to one another. And I see this with a lot of people that have been here. Holding on to one another, we have grown spiritually together through the good times and the bad times. Grown spiritually together. We're linked together through those events, through holding on to each other, for rejoicing in our victories and for being sad with each other and weeping with each other in our difficult times. We have grown together, knit together in love. It's a very beautiful thing. So my encouragement to you is, as you're planted here, grow. Grow where you're planted. It's the saying of the great ascetics, grow where you're planted. There was a story of an old monk that went to a monastery, and he went to the abbot and said, I need to leave here. There's a monk here I don't get along with. So he went to another monastery, and there were 8 monks there, and found out that he didn't get along with 3 of them. So he went to the abbot and said, you know, Abbot, I'm having trouble here. I need to leave. The 3 monks I don't get along with. So he went to the next monastery. There were 15 monks. He didn't get along with 7 of them. He finally said, the abbot finally said, you need to grow where you're planted. You know, we don't run away because it's difficult. Don't run away because it's hard. We stay. That's where God is. That's where we can grow. So grow where you're planted, beloved. We're blessed to do that. For the unity of the faith, we were given by a blessed act of God, I believe, through St. Athanasius. We've been given by Christ to the apostles, established the church, passed from generation to generation. We thank God we've been given this inheritance of the true church. You know, we need to remember this, I think, and be grateful for St. Athanasius, who called Father Richard Ballou to himself. And Father Richard then helped call us to Orthodoxy with the help of Father Alexander Schmemann, Father Thomas Hopko, Father John Meindorf, Bishop Dimitri, and then our blessed founders, Father Gordon Walker, Father Peter Gilquist, Father Jack Sparks, Father John Braun, and Father Richard Ballou. That's the foundation here. That is the unity of the faith given to us. And for us to do what? Hold on to it and carry it on. Pass it on to the next generation. We got it so that we could build in it, live in it, and pass it to the next generation. It's a blessing and a responsibility for us. So, God help us. And to the knowledge of the Son of God, St. Paul writes in Philippians, I pray that your love may abound still more in knowledge and all discernment. It's very important. Your love may abound in knowledge and all discernment. The wedding of love and knowledge is very critical to our Christian faith. St. John Chrysostom, this is important, listen. There's a danger lest anyone be spoiled by love, which places us in a circumstance to receive or be influenced by a spurious or inappropriate doctrine or practice. Be careful. What's that mean? I was thinking about this, about my own life. I had these really neat friends when I was a kid, growing up. We played in creeks, we climbed trees, and then one time they decided to throw rocks at a window and break some windows. I said, you know, time out here. You know, I like the trees, I like the creeks, but what you're doing here, I love you as my friends, but I ain't throwing rocks into the windows. Okay. So here's the love with discernment, right? And when I was thinking about this, I just had some really good times with some old friends from college. When Jan and I converted, gave our life back to Christ in the early 70s when we came to the church, my old friends, I loved them very much, but there were certain things that they were doing. I couldn't do that anymore. I loved them, but I couldn't do that anymore. You know, it's like, well, you don't love us because you're not hanging with us. No, I love you, but I can't hang with you. You're doing things that I don't agree with. And so we're put in this position where, well, if you don't agree with me, you don't love me. That's not how this works. That's how Christian love works. I love you, but I don't need to agree with you. Okay? I don't agree with maybe your choices or the things that you're saying or doing. I don't desire to participate in that, but I love you. I love you. Both those things can happen together, right? You can disagree and love. Very important to know that. So we love with knowledge and discernment. Very critical to us. To a perfect man. This is the goal. As we work together, beloved, you helping me helping you, us helping one another, we see that people see the church as an outpost. We want that when we do this, when we grow into this perfect man, the church becomes a visible outpost of the kingdom of God in the world. It's seen. It's felt. It's experienced. That's what we need to strive for. A haven against the world's confusion. An ark. Protection from the storms of life. That's what we work for in the church, beloved. To the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. To enter into this fullness in the church as we're baptized and growing together in love, working together, drawing near and near to Christ, drawing near and near to one another, becoming more like Him for the sake of the sanctity and salvation of us all, drawing others with us as we move. Let me conclude by reading the end of this epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, that is Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of work by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. Amen.